week. My sister's having trouble, and we had a lot of conference calls about what to do with her. And it was all week. So it's a good thing I did it. But you never know.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Oh, good.
Hopefully the women's group that meets on Saturdays will plan that event next year.
Oh, okay.
Because if we didn't, I mean, who took charge of everything? So
Hello.
it's part of the
Good
reason for the
morning.
smaller crowd because one, the distance, two, it was Derby weekend. So I just thought I'd get out of town and maybe get to know about the people. And actually, we went down to an Airbnb 2 days before then. That was about 10 minutes from there because I had a sister come. So we went down there and got out of town.
You guys are busy, busy, busy.
Busy as we
Jesse,
are. We have a sister here this morning, so we don't feel guilty about us leaving.
Oh, you're there.
Yeah. Hello.
Good morning.
I know her. I
Oh,
got
she's
to know her over there. I got to know that she
you guys
smiles. Laura, I'm Lauren.
It's Laura.
Okay. One of you guys is Linda, right?
I'm Linda.
Linda.
Thanks to you, we found our way home.
Yeah.
It worked, man.
Right off the bat, we were going the wrong direction, which is an unusual for me. Even at the mall.
They instructed us to get there, but of course, the leaving, we had to greet them in reverse. That's a little tricky. Don't turn left here, turn right.
When we left, I said, no, we're going to act like Ginger Rogers. We're going to do this backwards and then heels. And we couldn't get very far. Yeah. Oh, no. We're really in the wrong direction here.
Okay, we're just about ready. Oh, thanks, Margo. I was just looking at the back cover of the book. So if you have one, you can look at it. If you don't, you can just listen for a moment. The guides, otherworldly beings with deep spiritual insight, speak directly through Paul, and their message has been transcribed word for word in this revolutionary new volume. The Book of Innocence invites readers to explore a new vision of themselves and the lives they lead, one that is pristine, fundamental, and innate. Instead of being blinded by spiritual and physical distractions, the guides offer a return to the primal simplicity of a deeper knowing. The primal simplicity of a deeper knowing. This powerful book welcomes readers into a paradigm-shifting experience of renewal and rebirth, shedding cynicism and conceit in favor of authentic, life-changing innocence. Couldn't have said it better myself. So, good morning, everybody. We're going to begin on page Roman numeral, small Roman numeral 23, XXIII. The last sentence in the first complete paragraph towards the bottom of the page. The true self, you see, is expressing love and knows itself as love and reclaims every aspect of you in the upper room as of itself. You can never be apart from love because that is who you are. That is what you are.
Are you recording, Jerry?
Yes. The idea of history and those things endured and chosen to learn through are not only useful to you, they have been your education. Get this one. And the fears you have known yourselves through in some ways have encouraged you to choose a higher path, a higher way of expressing. Let me say that again. The fears you have known yourself through in some ways have encouraged you to choose a higher path, a higher way of knowing. In other words, we've all come to a point saying, something's wrong with this picture. What am I doing here? Whatever answers I had before are not working. I think that's one of the things that attracts us to unity, attracts to things like A Course in Miracles. There must be a better way. There must be a different way of being able to do it than beating my head against the wall, or living in negativity, or living in cynicism. The fears you have known yourself through, in some ways, have encouraged you to choose a higher path, a higher way of expressing. The upper room is a place beyond fear. Fear does not exist. Fear is a tone does not express in the upper room, a vibration. The choice to embody in the upper room does not deny your humanity, but reclaims your humanity in the high tone or octave that the monad expresses through. In other words, to coin that phrase that we've used so often, you begin to realize that you are a unique expression of divine consciousness. You are a unique expression of divine consciousness. I wonder how often during a day do we realize that? It's one of the reasons why I like Sunday morning. You want to make sure I'm on here. Okay, I just want to make sure all the plugs were working. Where am I?
At the very end.
Okay. The choice to embody in the upper room does not deny your humanity, but reclaims your humanity in the high tone or octave that the monad expresses through. I am a unique expression of divine consciousness. How often do we see that in ourselves, in others? Just on a normal day of existence. Not a whole lot. I need all the reminders I can get. To become this creation does not deny your gender, your ethnicity, the color of your eyes, and the language you were taught to speak as a child. All of these things are of God, and expressions of the same. But you know yourself beyond their limitations, beyond the ideas they presuppose you should have in my country, in my community, in my religion, in my age group. The ways you've decided to experience yourselves are perhaps useful, but they tend to operate in separation. In other words, how we define ourselves usually is in terms of separateness rather than oneness. When I define myself as being a unique expression of divine consciousness, I'm defining you that way as well. Nobody's left out of the circle. So no matter who or what you are, no no matter what you might appear to be on the outside, you are still a unique expression of divine consciousness. To align to the higher is not to exclude the lower. It is to lift the lower to the higher so that it may be reconciled. How can I see my character defects differently than just character defects? How can I see them as not being something wrong with me, but something that I can learn from? Or maybe something I am learning from, something I created to learn from. That'd be a stretch. How could I look at the things that I think are wrong with me as things that I actually have chosen to discover that there's nothing wrong with me? I had to write that down myself. To align to the higher is not to exclude the lower. It is to lift the lower to the higher so that it may be reconciled. The Christ you see does not discriminate because it does not judge. It cannot hold fear and judgment because fear and judgment are of fear. There is no fear in the upper room. There is no judgment. There is no separation. There is no duality. Now, you're not there when you say, oh, I'm in the upper room. You're there and you're in the experience. You're not observing the experience. You're not thinking about being in the experience. You are in the experience. So, for instance, there are going to be some moments. Just had a moment of realization like that. There are going to be some moments on Sunday morning or maybe Tuesday evening, if you're part of that too as well, where you just are in the experience of oneness. You're not thinking about being in oneness. You are in it. And then something happens and sort of pops you out of that and you go, oh, wow. I was in higher consciousness a couple of moments ago. And again, that's not to take anything away from that. It's not to beat you up because you didn't lose anything. You just popped in a normal everyday hamburger stand mentality, which is where we usually live. And then you say, well, you can't create that experience. Well, I want to go back and create that higher consciousness experience. You can't do that. Because that's the lower consciousness trying to create the higher consciousness. What you can do is consciously open yourself up to the learning that is coming your way and saying, I will continue reading this book. I will continue studying this. I will continuing to listen to my heart, right? And when the moments come or arise where I find myself not even thinking about anything, just being in the experience, I will honor that as best I possibly can. Until there will come a time when I will just be in the experience. I won't be thinking about being in the experience. I won't be thinking about what it's like to be in the experience. When we compare it to other experience, I will just be there in that truth. Towards the end of Jesus' life, in the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament, he reached that point where there was no more, where there was still an ego and a personality, but it was no longer existed to define myself, and that I was in the experience of oneness with the Father. And he said in John's Gospel, God, Father, that they may all be one, just as you and I are one. Simple yet profound. So we're not leaving anything behind. We are raising it up to a higher level of consciousness. How can I see my character defects? How can I see them as teachers? How can I see them as something that I chose to learn from? How can I see them as being perfect just the way they are? Not something wrong with me, not something bad about me, not something incomplete about me, but something that I chose this lifetime to work on, to be part of. The Christ, you see, does not discriminate because it does not judge. It cannot hold fear, and judgment is of fear. And it's so easy during a normal day in our lives to become a victim to judgment. I mean, I'm doing it all the time. You just kind of listen to my mind when it's not judging. It's always making comparisons. It's always doing this. And again, that's simply the mind doing what the mind does. If I identify with that and say, well, there must be something wrong with me because I'm judging all the time. No, there's nothing wrong with me. It's my mind just doing what my mind does. It's not who I am. And it's, even in judgment, it's not telling me the truth. It will try to prove it to me, but it's not. The true self as you, in its full expression, announces itself to all. Ta-da! Jesus on Mount Tabor with Peter, James, and John, what's sometimes referred to as the Transfiguration. He did something like that. It was essentially what he's, I'm sort of ad-libbing here, which I usually do anyway. But essentially what he said to Peter, James, and John, he said, watch this. I am going to show you who I truly am and who you truly are. And as he said that, or right after he said that, it said, his face shone like the sun and his garments were white as snow. And appeared with him was Moses and Elijah, two of the greatest prophets around, and who were celebrating the fact that Jesus is coming to his awakening. Here's the truth of who you are. Here's the truth of who I am. Here's the truth of who you are. And there is nothing that can take that away. It's just that you're not able to hold that vision yet completely. I'm sure Thomas Merton realized the same thing when he saw that everybody is being beings of light and forth and walnut, that that was a wonderful vision that he had, a vision of truth. But he was not able to hold it completely. If he was, he would have stayed there in that realization. Nothing wrong with that. It's just, let me show you who you truly are so you can become who you truly are. Let me show you who you truly are so you may become who you truly are. The true self as you, who you truly are, in its full expression, announces itself to all, to everyone. This is not done with speech or tongue, but through presence and being. The difference between someone saying, I love you, which feels nice and warm and fuzzy, don't deny that, and being in the energy of love, or being in the energy of being loved. Difference between the words and the experience. The words and the experience. And the title we are working on now, chapter if you wish, you might call Presence and Being, because it will be utilized throughout this text. Your experience of being in the upper room will be the result of the alignment you claim. And your expression here, your presence here, and the being of itself in this state of vibration claims all things that it encounters to itself for the re-knowing, the re-seeing, the re-articulation as well. Jesus said, if the Son of Man be raised up, I shall draw all things unto myself. I am volunteering to be the energy of transformation. But you must allow yourself to be moved into that light. I will turn my light on. I will shine my light as best I possibly can. I will lift myself up so you can see the truth of who you are. And if you allow that to happen as being your truth, you will transform. You will be changed. You will be enlightened. You will be whatever words you want to use for that. The re-knowing, the re-seeing, and the re-articulation of who you think you are. What this means is that in the upper room, you have become not only a doorway, but an expression of tone, an alignment in tone that will claim all things in vibrational accord to it. If you had a tuning fork, and you were to go bong, kind of banging on a piece of metal, and you were to take another tuning fork and put it next to it, it would start vibrating at the same frequency. You didn't do anything to it, you just put it in the realm of that vibration. Isn't that interesting? Putting ourselves in the realm of the higher consciousness, putting ourselves in the realm of the upper room, allows you to vibrate at the same frequency that you are coming close to. That's what we talk about being, when you are conscious, when you are aware, all you have to do is put yourself in that frequency willingly, saying, I am free here, I am a unique expression of divine consciousness. Whatever words you want to use to express that, putting yourself in that truth allows you to absorb that truth, to become one with it. If the Son of Man be raised up, he shall draw all things unto himself. It can't not be. The attunements we have utilized in prior texts were all requirements to support the physical self and identity you have known yourselves through, to support you in what transpires next, which is a new equation. An equation being a sequence of vibrational tones that support the recalibration of the manifest world. So not only are you changing, not only are you developing, not only are you vibrating at a higher frequency, but if you do that, or if you allow that to happen with yourself, the world changes along with you. It cannot be otherwise. I think the way the Course puts it, and I know I am ad-libbing on this particular piece as well, so don't take this as gospel yet. But if one person, if one being reaches that complete sense of wholeness, it draws everyone and everything to it. So, of course, Jesus the Christ, the Anointed One, was the way shower of that. But there have been some others that have sort of fallen into that groove, being pulled into that groove. Gandhi, when he was dying after he was shot, he was in the arms of one of his faithful followers. And he didn't say, "Who shot me? Oh, I'm dying." All he did was kept repeating the name of God. Ram, Ram, Ram. That was his mindset. That was his truth. There's nothing that interferes with that. My body's dying. So what? I am part of, I am a reflection of the presence of God. Period. Nothing more needs to be said. Jim.
What I'm hearing is,
you need to speak up a little bit more.
Is that better a little bit? Okay, so what I'm hearing and what resonates with me quite some time, that Jesus and other mystics are essentially the great example, not an exception, for the human kind. I was raised in a situation where the second coming, that Jesus was coming back. And what I've come to realize is that in his time, he will walk the face, he's the anointed one, Christ consciousness within him, was an example for humankind to follow that, or to understand that. And, again, I'm not quite sure if that message is clear to me.
Mm-hmm.
Again, That's how I interpret it.
You are the second coming.
Yes.
And greater things than this shall you do. Greater things than this shall you do. That's what he said, and that's what he meant. You are the second coming. It's not something you wait for. Not something that's going to happen with that. It only happens with you. It can only happen with you.
The ego mind, my ego mind goes, no, not me. Who, me? What?
Right.
I'm not worthy. What?
What? What?
No. Do you know all the stuff I've done?
Yeah. I'm a bad boy. Right? There's something wrong with me. I couldn't be this. I couldn't be that. And that's the whole point about seeing beyond that. I love you with an everlasting love. There is nothing, as Paul said in Romans, absolutely nothing that can separate you from God's love. Jim?
What attracts people to the opposite energy, such as our present?
The negative side, you mean?
What I would call the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm. What attracts, what's the attraction to the negative or the dark side, you might say? That's a great question. Because, let's fit it into the language we just used a moment ago. If I sense myself, or I'm telling myself that I am not worthy, okay, if that's sort of my mantra, then I'm going to look for ways to prove that. And looking for ways to prove that kind of creates more of that, more of the darkness, more of the fear, more of the anxiety, more of the vengefulness, more of the fear, more of the judgment. And because it starts with the premise that this is what I deserve. Yeah, Sangi?
What if we're drawn to it because we know that there's a wound there to be healed?
What would it be like to be drawn to that if we know there's a wound to be? If we look at it in that perspective, then obviously there's a gift there present. And that's a great way of being. If I find myself, let's say, being drawn to the negative, which I certainly do. I am one of those people that I don't revel in it necessarily, but sometimes I am drawn more to the negative than I am to the positive because of that woundedness in my belief system that there's something wrong with me and I'm not enough. But once I realize that, then kind of flips it around and becomes a learning experience rather than something the matter with me. It's as it says, sentence. Let's see if I can find it here.
So that very beginning of the talk.
Yeah, it might be that first sentence we used right in the beginning. The true self, you see, is expressing love and knows itself as love and reclaims every aspect of you in the upper room as of itself. Your expression here, your presence here, and the being of self in this state of vibration claims all things that it encounters for itself, for re-knowing, re-seeing, and re-articulation as well. So if I can see even the negative things that I am drawn to as being part of my learning, rather than, again, something the matter with me, what's the matter with you getting drawn to the dark side? I'm getting drawn to the dark side because it's raising itself up and saying, will you heal me, please? I go, oh, well, that's different. Didn't hear that the first time. Didn't hear that the first time, second time, third time, fourth time. I heard it this time. It's up because it needs to be healed. very different from it's up because it's a reflection of something wrong with me. But if we miss that piece and get drawn into the negativity part of things, the judgment part of things, the duality part of things, it is difficult to extract yourself from that. It's like quicksand. So what I have to do when I'm there is surrender. Saying, I know there is a different way. I know there is a better way of seeing this, of comprehending this, of being in this particular space. But I don't see, I cannot do that by myself. And that's okay because you're not supposed to. It's your divine consciousness that heals your lower consciousness. But it's not by beating the heck out of yourself. It's by exposing your lower consciousness. It's like taking a block of ice and putting it in the sunshine. Mm-hmm. And letting it melt. That's all you have to do. Pick it up, put it in the sunshine, let it melt. But if you're concentrating on the block of ice and not moving it at all, saying, here I am, this immovable object, this block of ice, right? And I guess I'm going to have to stay here because that's who I am. Well, it's like keeping the ice at 32 degrees, right? It's going to stay ice until I move it in the sunshine. Moving into the sunshine goes, I give up. I give up trying to change this, trying to heal this all by myself, self meaning the small s, all by myself. And I'm opening it up to the light, to the truth of who I truly am. Jim.
No, I was just
okay.
Not...
Where are we? Okay, we're on the top of page 25, Roman numeral. Now, when we teach this, we are not teaching conjuring or magic. We are simply stating the very simple truth that the one who has come as the true self has come for all humanity. The one who has come for all humanity, the one who has come as the true self has come for all humanity. And we could say that's Jesus, but it's also you. It is also you. I have come, I have come, I have come. The one that expresses at this level claims all things to its expression. And the manifest divine that has always been present, but denied by all of you at one strata frequency or another, can be reestablished through presence and being. And the world is made new by your knowing of it. The world is made new by your knowing of it. We have our moments. Holding a baby, walking in the woods, just sitting in the sunshine. Not thinking about what you're doing or how you're doing it, but raising the level of your consciousness. Just think about the things that you already know that raise the level of your consciousness, that raise your vibration. Things that you do very, very simply. Suggestion, do more of it, whatever it is. Gardening, cooking, praying, meditating, closing your eyes, sitting in the sunshine, listening to a favorite piece of music, or reading a favorite piece of poetry. What raises your vibration? And do more of it. It fits in a little bit with Janet's question. It's amazing on the other side of things how easily we avoid that stuff. Oh, I don't have time for that. I'll do that later. What's more important than raising your vibration in this particular moment of truth?
Hey, Jared?
Yeah.
This thought just kind of came to me is that I'm looking at all of us in here and looking at the screen, and what just kind of occurred to me is that I kind of feel that, and I'm speaking for me, that just being in this vibration, that I've been, in a sense, like deputized by consciousness to take this wherever my, where I'm planted at, to be a light of love, of divine. And I'm looking at through my prism, so I'm thinking like all of us have, whatever we do in our journey, to take this, because in order for this to manifest and expand, it takes each person wherever they're at. So I just kind of got that. Look at them. I just saw lights, just coming to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's also a good example of, I think when we walk in here on Sunday morning and choose consciously to participate in the process of awakening, that you literally change your own vibration and change the vibration of those around you. It'd be difficult to be in let's say, in a lot of negativity in what we're doing on Sunday morning. So if somebody came in and decided, well, let's talk about all the things that are wrong with the world. You could do that if you want to. But what's interesting about that is it's not going to fit. It just doesn't work. Let's be in judgment now, right? Let's bring all those people we can't stand, right? And let's talk about them. Let's talk about, ain't it awful? It doesn't work. Even physically, it doesn't work. You can say, well, I have either an open heart or a closed heart. Well, I'm going to close my heart off to this person, that person. And then I'm going to sit myself in a higher vibration environment. Doesn't work. Can't work. That's why I was suggesting finding those ways that raise our vibration one way or another, right, and do more of it, whatever it happens to be.
Jerry, I've literally done that in terms of individuals who are venting or ranting, and it is a continuum. They'll say, are you there? I'm just listening. I said, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
I hear you. I'm acknowledging them.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just, in my mind, I'm waiting for them to, whenever that's going to end. I'm not fixing them, but they'll just continue. And then they'll just be, are you there? Well, I'm here.
I am here. Let's see. I was going to do another paragraph, but since I got to leave a little bit early this morning, I'll extend the meditation time just a little bit more. So it seems rather silly to enter into a new topic area. So let's take a moment and ask you to put your books down. Allow yourself to get comfortable in your spot. Excuse me. Take a couple of deep breaths. And if you choose to allow yourself to have a sense of gratitude for being here, for being together this morning, and let that sense of gratitude gently open your heart. And as your heart opens, if it had a tone, a vibration, what would that experience be like to be in that tone, a vibration of an open heart? It's not something you grab a hold of and put in a cage. It is an awareness of your being. And you might notice as you are in that awareness of being, that there is a sense of oneness with all beings. And in this oneness of all beings, there is no duality, there is no separateness. In some mysterious way, you are still a unique expression of divine consciousness, and you're also one with all other beings, because each being also is a unique expression of divine consciousness. And so we participate in oneness, and we participate in our uniqueness as well. Allowing yourself to absorb that like a sponge. Light of the world, I am open to learning the lessons that I have chosen to learn this day. Allow me to do that in peacefulness, in joy, in oneness, in safety. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Deep breath. And stretch a bit. Open your eyes when you're ready. Thank you all.
Thank
Hope you
you,
have a great
Terry.
Week. Thank you,
see you guys.
Thank you very much, Terry. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
See ya. Have a good week.
Thanks, Jerry.
Bye.
Bye. Have a great week.
Yeah, we have to pick up the chair.